Given this conference, so we speak about first the advantages of doing a general confession. So the last conference we saw the extremely importance of asking the grace of perfect contrition and doing all that is in our power to dispose ourselves for that grace. This is called the key of heaven. The golden key of heaven is perfect contrition. So, Saint Dominic and many other saints said that the San Alfonso de Ligori, he says also that the sacrament of confession, I would say, a spiritual confession will be the perfect contrition, because the desire of erasing our sins, disposing our hearts and sorrowing ourselves along with our Lord, to cleanse with the tears of our Lady and our Lord and ourselves, the three of us, cleansing our souls with our tears. This is spiritual confession. If what we do at Mass, you notice, at Mass, at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the priest mixes water with the wine, we will become the most precious blood. According to the mystics, that water represents the Blessed Virgin Mary's tears, sorrows, united to our own sorrows. The sorrows of the martyrs, which are added to the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ to atone for the sins. So the three had to participate in the atonement of our sins. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and ourselves, the three. The three had to work together, the three of us had to work together to win this grace, the golden key to heaven. In fact, this is even in those who are in purgatory, that they are forced to cry because they didn't cry enough on earth. But it's a reality. That drop of water is the joining of the crosses, of the tears, of the sorrows of our Lord, our Lady, and ourselves. So this is what we call spiritual confession, really. Perfect contrition, and that grace is stored up in Our Lady in her sorrows. This is why this devotion of Our Lady of sorrows, sorrows of Our Lady, we are going to pray starting today. But those sorrows accumulated in the highest degree in her solitude. And this is exactly what the grace of perfect contrition is stored in also. Because you don't only ask the grace of perfect contrition, but also you cooperate, foster, dispose yourself by accompanying, repairing, consoling Our Lady by your tears. It's the most beautiful. It's a revelation. It's one of the greatest secrets, I will say, in the Fatima message, that we are here on earth to repair along with our Lord and our Lady. We have to repair along with them. And because sin is abundant and grace will be more abundant, grace, so it means that grace depends, the amount of grace will depend upon our cleansing of our souls by sorrowing, by perfect contrition, by accompanying Our Lady in her sorrows. She will accompany us in our sorrows, so we will sorrow together with our Lord. This is the greatest devotion. So remember that the Blessed Virgin Mary in her solitude, starting on the crucifixion, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and after our Lord Ascension, when she was at Mass with St. John, at the Mass of St. John, 25 years, every day she will live through the Mass, during Mass, along the day, The horrors and the sufferings, the sorrows of the passion of, at the end of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's through sorrows how we are cleansed, and therefore, as we saw in the fifth conference, we walk towards the love of God. Remember the first conference, St. John of the Cross. We ruin in the spiritual life in the same proportion we hate sin. So we love God. The more we love God, the more we hate sin. That was hand in hand. So in such a way that eventually we will see an infinite distance between God and evil. That will be in heaven. But here on earth, like the saints, we must strive to prefer always God's good and God's welfare, God's will, and Mary's consolation, than committing sin. And this devotion of Our Lady of Solitude is going to bring, this is the purpose of this devotion. Because she won, by her solitude, she won the graces that we need in our solitude, in our sorrowing, in our persecution, in our need to atone for our sins. So, in the necessity that we have of being at the sacrifice of the Mass, either physically when we have Mass, or by the faith, through our faith, to be at Mass during our day, during our life. Sorrowing with Mary, consoling the most sorrowful Immaculate Heart of Mary, in solitude especially. Because why solitude? Remember, the church, the Catholic Church, is undergoing her passion and death. Passion and death. Of course, never going to die, because our Lord promised. But the agony, yes, the passion and agony of the church. It's never going to die. Of course, it's a promise. But it's a Good Friday of the Catholic Church. It was talked by St. Gregory the Great first. He was the first to speak about this subject. The mystical body of Christ has to undergo what the head underwent at the end of times. Well, now we are in the Good Friday of the Church. And remember, on Good Friday it starts, or is keen, the solitude of Mary, especially. Because the churches are empty. The sacrifice of the Mass, the reason why the cathedrals were built is for the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the Trinity Mass, are being used for a cave of devils, a place where the devils gather, basically, to mock our Lord, to replace our Lord, sacrificed by their own ceremony, which is something human, diabolical, trying to replace the Trinity Mass, the sacrifice of our Lord. The devil trying to replace the cross by his presence, his gifts. Remember in the new Mass of the Novus Ordo, what the priest, quote-unquote priest, offers at the offertory is bread and wine, the produce of the sweat and the work of men. Is what they offer at Mass. At the Trinitarian Mass, what we offer is our Lord Himself offering His most precious blood, His sacrifice, His suffering, His anguish, His solitude, His... What a difference. It's an infinite difference between the Trinitarian Mass, the cross, and something human, diabolical, memory of what happened 2,000 years ago, which is no intended, no made by God, no wanted by God at all, to replace the sacrifice of the cross by a proudful memory which they want to replace the cross of our Lord, teaching the people that memory, that commemoration is enough to go to heaven without changing your life. No matter if you have the faith or not, doesn't matter if you don't worship our Lord. It's horrible. Priests, nobles, they don't see that. It's a horror. It's an abomination in Novus Ordo. Abomination. So far from being sorrowful, they are proudful of what they are doing. It's the most diabolical configuration. So we must do the opposite, remember. We are here to be like our Lord, our Lady at the foot of the cross. Therefore, we will be speaking during the retreat about Our Lady in her solitude. It's the focus for this moment. Because remember, it's impossible to say that we love Our Lady if we still if we are loving sin. If we love sin, it's impossible that we may say that we have devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. We cannot say that. We'd be hypocritical. Completely. Completely. It's impossible that you are saying, I love you, my dear mother, and boom, and you buffeted on the face of Mary. It's impossible to say that you are loving her. It's not possible. Simply, it's not possible. And that is the Novus Ordo, devotions. Telling the Blessed Mother, we love you, Mother, boom, buffeting our Lord at the same time, and herself. It's impossible. So, confession, therefore, is to be sorrowful, because the proximate matter of confession, you have to know that. The proximal matter, every sacrament has a matter and form. So the proximate matter of confession is sorrow for your sins. So it's the most important element. Your confession is your sorrow. In fact, the amount of sorrow you have at confession is the amount of graces that you receive. I repeat, the amount of sorrow you have for your sins will be the measure of the amount of graces you are going to receive for confession, for your confession. This is why if you are doing it in Mary, for Mary, through Mary, like Mary, sorrowing for the same reasons Mary was sorrowing at the foot of the cross, that will be perfect contrition. So you will be aiming to, by doing that, aiming to win perfect contrition. Because the meritorious of all graces, the Blessed Virgin Mary, will give that grace, God, through her, yes. Because contrition is that. Perfect contrition that we just see in the last conference was, is that. To cleanse our souls with the very tears of our Lord, our Lady, and our tears together. Just to be together, the three. That Novus Ordo devotion of the Divine Mercy is a lie. Saying, I trust in the tears of our Lord and His blood, not precious blood. And I trust in Mary and I do nothing, that cleans nothing. If I don't cooperate, I am not cleansed from my sins. This is the lie. This is the lie of the Novus Ordo devotions. So is it possible to please God or to embrace God without the cross, without embracing the cross? So if we want to love the cross, penance, atonement, we must love Our Lady in her solitude, to be at her side. This is to be in reality. This is to face reality. So the best application of Our Lady to teach that is her solitude. Because remember, her solitude is the highest sorrow. So she has seven sorrows. Yes, seven sorrows. But the greatest of the seven sorrows is no doubt her solitude. Because she had 25 years in that solitude. Because she was not able to be yet in heaven, to enjoy our Lord. And she had to meditate upon the Passion and Death and live it through during Mass for 25 years. Each time, every day, every Mass was the pain, the sorrow was keener, was more painful and more painful as the years was passed. Because remember, love and sorrow go hand by hand. The more you love our Lord, the more you are sorry for your sins. So, Our Lady was sorrowing because the dignity of our Lord. No? So the more she loved our Lord, the more sorrow she feels because of our sins. And because she was growing in love, constantly. De hecho, she grew in sorrow constantly during her life on earth. This is what her solitude is the greatest of all sorrows. Therefore, is the greatest, greater devotion to Mary. It's where all graces can be given to us. Because what we say in the last long conference, if we have perfect contrition, which is precisely the sorrows of Mary applied to our souls, therefore we have the key, golden key to heaven. And we will be saints, become greater saints, great saints, because again, the amount of love for God goes hand in hand with the amount of sorrow or hatred for our sins. Hand in hand. It's a golden principle. So this is where the key to heaven and holiness for us. And this is precisely the first week of St. Ignatius de Loyola. St. Ignatius. So, to do a general confession in our case, now is the moment to do it well. Precisely, we want the grace of perfect contrition. And in this environment, sacred environment of the Holy Ghost leading us, of being outside the world, of being generous, is the perfect environment of dispositions in order to bear the greatest fruits possible in whatever we are doing, the exercises we are doing. So should be our better confession in our whole life tomorrow confession should be the best. If you cooperate generously, will be the best confession in your whole life. Must be. You have to aim to pay off your purgatory tomorrow, and to, in such a way that you die tomorrow after confession, you go to heaven, straight to heaven. And secondly, our sins and their malice are understood more intimately because we are analyzing the doctrine, the theology, and what the saints said about these topics. So our knowledge, we are reminded by faith what does sin means. So this is the moment in which we are giving ourselves to interior things like monks. You live a perfect life these 5 days. So you are gaining more knowledge and sorrow for your sins in this moment. Therefore you will have the greatest profit and merit than you have had before in your confessions. And thirdly, in consequence, having made a better confession, you are better disposed than ever in your life now. Therefore, it is the moment to do a general confession. Therefore, in order to have the hatred for all your sins of your whole life. You remember, it's the second condition to win perfect contrition. That you hate your own sins or your whole life. It is the moment, perfect moment, to do a general confession. To be generously. Remember that the Church suggests that you confess what you remember. So God is not asking you impossible things. Many things you will not remember. But therefore, focus in the material requisite to win the graces of confession, which is sorrow. Whatever you are going to confess is what you remember. But just be sure that you have sorrow. You ask for it. It is the same for Holy Communion. We will see that on Thursday, but Holy Communion, the fruit of Holy Communion is the love of God. The greater love of God you have during your communion is the greater amount of graces you receive. So confession depends on how much sorrow you receive graces, or communion depends on how much love you have, how many graces you receive. But we start by detaching from sin, by sorrow, in order to run towards the love of God. This is the process. It is a lie to say that by many communions, without changing my life, without sorrow, I can win heaven? No, it's not true. It's not enough. Not enough. Many trenting mass and many communions will not change my life because I am proudful, I am attached to sin, I like sin, I still in risk. I will be still in risk of hell. So we went to meditate. So you start doing your confession, yes. Will be tomorrow afternoon, but the exercise of meditation will be about the... you have to bring to your memory all your sins of your life, at least in these exercises in general. The exercise is to put yourself like a movie before your eyes, looking quickly that we have not stopped committing sins against all the commandments. No? You move quickly, you have dishonor, we have dishonored God, unrespected Him, disobeyed Him, we have not defended Him, we have preferred other things to God. Maybe we have swear by God's name. We might have also disregarded Sunday's holy day by doing things, even sinful things on Sunday, on Holy Week. Many people doesn't confess that in Holy Week they have done worldly activities. No? The dancing feasts is an extra sin because the holiness, the sacredness of the Holy Week adds an extra sin to do it on Holy Week. A sinful activity also. It's an extra sin. You put up before your eyes your disobedience, your lack of humility, how you want to, you have envy, or you want to harm, to offend others, you prefer yourself to the others. Also how you have been impure, maybe in your thoughts, on your wishes, desires, in your body. How you have been unjust against the others, stealing or taking things without yours. Also the sins of the tongue, detraction, calumny, gossip, hurting the others. Also the covetousness, the capital sins, you know, against poverty, against fraternal charity. This sin is quite often. We don't confess enough about fraternal charity. You have to remember also the 14 works of mercy for your confession. You should analyze the 14 acts of mercy. Because it's a sin against charity not to perform those acts of mercy. For example, you see people ignorant who are not unwilling to hear the truth. If you don't tell the truth, you are negligence by omission, sin of omission, no? Against charity. Or you don't correct people just for human respect sometimes. Or, for example, you don't pray for the living or the dead. You just forget or you are not so charitable as to remember them in your prayers. We commit many sins against charity just by analyzing the 14 works of mercy. How many times we have seen a friend or a neighbor suffering sadness, suffering lack of means, we ignore them. Sometimes, quite often, I would say. Or sometimes they are in prison or sick. We don't care. We don't visit or we don't console or we don't try to relieve at least a little bit of sorrow, no? By a phone call or by sending I am praying for you, a note or something, at least. So many sins are committed by omission. So Alphonse Maillard Ligori says that Catholics usually they don't confess sins of omission. Something that we should have done and we do nothing about that. Especially today, that we have so much darkness and people have not the truth. And the truth is the only solution for everybody, in fact. Everybody needs the truth. And believe me that we are lacking in that in that regard. We are lacking and we're committing sins of charity, against charity. Because we don't have faith and hope. So we don't trust that the word of God is powerful to convert or to give light to others. We give up, basically. We give up on people. It's a sin against faith, against charity, against hope. So many sins like that, you start, try to pray about that. To see our sins of our whole life. Also, second, you have to weigh down the gravity of your sins, as we saw in the first conference, the second conference. So it's to spit upon Christ, to nail Christ on the cross. The venial sins, with willful venial sins, says to nail our Lord, to put thorns in his head, you know, the slash of his body. This is the problem. We don't ponder enough the gravity of our sins, the seriousness. God infinitely, infinitely lovely, good and merciful, and we offend him. It's something horrifying. You just start thinking about that. We just meditate about this. It's horrible what we have done. Just to ignore Christ, for example, to ignore him for a moment, or to prefer something else, amusement to God's will. You know? Just, for example, think about this. How many we are being unrespectful to sacred realities? We see a priest, or we see a sacred place, or we see a prayer going on, and we despise it, or we don't pay attention. Third point, look at who am I in comparison with all men. Who I am in comparison with saints, with angels. Also think, how many will be already saints? It's just they will have received the same graces we have received. We are not saints. But many might be already great saints if they just will have the same graces. Just by having one triumph in mass, many might have become a really great saint, and they don't have it. And we want to have many trying to masses, and we don't fructify. We might be more guilty than more rewarded because we are not fructifying our masses. People don't think about that. Because to have mass is not only a grace, it's a responsibility. Believe me, if we go to mass, we are lukewarm. We will receive more punishment than graces. Mm-hmm. Oh yes. Our Lord said very clearly. This is the real reason why our Lord took away from us the triumph in mass. Because people was trampling upon it, abusing it, and carrying upon themselves more and more culpability. By ignoring indifference, of course. It's better not to receive it than to receive it and to waste it. This is one of the principles of spiritual life. This is why to become religious it's better not to become religious than to become religious and to be halfway religious. It's better not to do vows. St. Paul St. Paul in the epistle said that. It's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and not to respect it. It's one of the principles of spiritual life that we don't pay attention to that. Even priests, we ask for many priests, but it's better to have few priests holy than to have many lukewarm. It's a fact. Because priests either bring us to heaven or bring us to hell. In fact, was a nun who went to purgatory. And the nun was approved by the church on this in the books. So she said, "Lord, I didn't see priests in purgatory. Maybe very few priests in purgatory. Please explain to me why I don't see priests in purgatory." And our Lord answered, he said, "Because priests receive so many graces, daily mass, daily communion, no, the reverie, our Lord acting in person through him, speaking to him. So the priest receives so many graces that if the priest is a good priest, or he carries his duty well, usually he goes straight to heaven. But if a priest is not doing his duty, usually he goes to hell." That was the answer of the Lord. Priest goes either straight to heaven or to hell. But it's not normal that a priest goes to purgatory, because that, he said, was our Lord's answer. So he's saying, it's better not to have priests than to have halfway priests. The same. It's better not to have masses than to have our masses halfway. Oh. Yes. It's something that we don't meditate. Yes. For example, it's better not to get married than to get married and to try to limit the children. Mm. Because that would be abusing the matrimony. Mm. It's what happened today, that abuse matrimony. Yes. They want wife, they want the company of a beautiful wife, okay? But they don't want children, so they want the matrimony their own way. If it's not to get married. If what I tell them in the matrimony talks, if you want to limit the children, don't get married, I will not marry you. Look, seek another priest, I will not marry you if you want to limit the children, no? Sorry. No, it's like that. Halfway things, no? Doesn't work. So we have to compare and to see ourselves as a sore, as an ulcer, as a something corrupted, can corrupt the other thing. Also, next point is to consider what God is. So who is God and who I am? This is the meditation in this moment. So we saw, who am I? Yes. Now, who is God? Who is like unto God? Infinite goodness, infinite dignity, infinite power, and mercy, and all the attributes. So who am I to talk back to God, to claim back to God something, or to tell God that I deserve better treatment or better cross? Who am I to say that? So wonder with deep feeling, going through all creatures, how they have left me in life and preserved me in it. So even think about animals. Animals, in certain sense, are better than us. Because animals, they don't sin. And we sin, and every day. So a dog might be better than me. Imagine that. It's good to meditate, because we are very powerful. I deserve, I have to be loved, I have to be respected. I need justice to be done to me. No. We don't claim Catholic of things. No? We don't rely upon God. If what he says, justice belongs to me. And for yourself, you forgive everybody, you do mercy to everybody, you give back good for evil, and I will give it to you what I want, but will be a hundredfold and a life everlasting. So really the problem is pride, that we don't live in the presence of God. I end by saying that Saint Benedict says, humility is to live in the presence of God. That he is everything, I am nothing. Worse than nothing, many times. No? So humility is to live in that reality. So this is your meditation in this moment. Finish here.